I count it always a great privilege, and inevitably, I'm all tangled up here. You forgive me. Inevitably, I prepare more than I can deliver. I don't know if Pastor Steve has that problem or not, but you know, and somehow this morning as we were worshiping, I just felt a little bit of what my message is about. And don't you know the Holy Ghost kept pouring more into me, talking to me about it and teaching me more stuff. And it was such a revelation that I wept before him. I'm not going to be long this morning, folks, because I want us to experience a little bit of what this passage of Scripture talks about. I'm concerned that too often we hear a message and, say a few amens and get up and go home, and on Monday morning we forgot about what we heard. And that ain't good. Because I believe the Lord wants to impress upon our hearts, when we come together, God wants to do some things. And I'd like to just share a little bit about that this morning, what God wants to do. We're talking about the glory of the Lord. I've entitled the message, really, Divine Encounters. How many here have had a divine encounter? Huh? Raise it up high. You've met with God. You know you've had a meeting with the Lord. A divine encounter. If you're born again, you've had a divine encounter. Amen. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've had a divine encounter. If you've had a divine healing, you've had a divine encounter. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Say that. I saw the Lord, and I saw him sitting on his throne. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Don't you know this is a divine encounter? And I said, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Father God, this morning, these lips are not adequate to reveal your glory. I'm asking that somehow you would help us as the people of God to catch a fresh vision of your awesomeness. Of your holiness. Of your glory. Of your might and of your power. Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, Lord. And open our ears to hear your voice today. Quicken us by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. It's been a joy in my life for some, I don't know, 50 years, I suppose, or thereabout, to be able to shepherd the flock of God. And the first two churches that Sharon and I pastored were rural churches. I mean, we were farmers. You got to love it when God sends a city kid down to the farm. I learned a lot about the farmers. I learned to love their ways, their lifestyle. I loved it that they kept my freezer full of meat, Brother Steve, because they didn't pay me no much money. But we had meat, didn't we, baby? Some of it was so tough you couldn't hardly eat it, but it was good. We learned about the farmers, and we loved the farmers. I went from one church to another church, and it was all farmers. And we learned a lot. I heard a story about a farm boy who at the turn of the century was working his father's farm. And that's one of the wonderful things about the farm life. You learn to work. Anybody here ever been on the farm or raised on a farm? Yeah, a few people have. You learn to work, and you learn family. You learn how to cooperate. You learn that everybody needs to be a part of it, right? This farm boy had heard that the circus was coming to town, and he was all excited about it. He had never seen the circus. So he went to his father and said, Dad, if I get all my chores done on Saturday early, I'd like to go and see the circus. Dad said, sure, why not? So Saturday morning, God came, and he got up early, and he headed out for the city. Or first he did all his chores, and then he headed out for town. And as he approached the edge of town, he saw the circus parade. He noticed that it was starting, and people were lining the streets, and he saw the wagons, and he heard the sound of the music playing, and he saw all the characters involved in the circus. Then he saw the animals. And he stood there with the rest, and he watched that parade, the marching band. It went on for a while, and finally at the rear of the circus parade were the clowns. And the clowns walked by, and Dad had given him a dollar for the fare, for the price of the circus. You could buy a lot with a dollar in those days. And he gave it to one of the clowns, and he turned around, and he went back home. He thought he had seen the circus, but he missed the main event. I share that little story with you this morning because I think so many times that happens to you and me. I think some of us who have been in the church for a while, we've kind of developed a routine. We're well-versed. We're steeped, you know. We know how this thing is supposed to go, don't you know? We know how it's supposed to go. We know that there ought to be three songs and a prayer and a sermon that better not last too long. And we're on our way home. But is it possible that we miss the main event? Is it possible that we fail to have a divine encounter? You see, always in the scripture, God reveals himself to people that gather together in worship. We've got good worship. We've got good music. We've got a good band. They don't march, but they're good anyway. We got good preaching. I'm ready for Brother Steve to come back and preach because he always shares something that's challenging with us. But the glory of God in our midst, folks, that's the main event. That's what we need so much to hold on to and lay claim to. This was in the year that King Uzziah died. It was in a time of crisis. Uzziah reigned for 52 years. He started when he was 16 years old. He was a good king and he did many wonderful things for the people of Israel. Except he'd gotten so great and God had blessed him so much that in his latter days he was puffed up with pride. And his pride caused him to overrun the work of the priests and the prophets. And he was stricken with leprosy and died a leper's death. And it was a time of crisis. It was a tragic time in the land. You've got to understand that. You and I have experienced some of those days. We're in crisis times even today. And in a difficult time, in that hard place where the prophet of God, who had already been on the job, but there were no answers, and they were looking for answers in the land. And finally one day Isaiah went to the temple, the scripture says, and there in the temple he experienced this divine encounter with God. Certain things that took place on that day in the temple transformed and changed his life, and not only his life, but the people around him. And I believe that these are days and times when you and I need more than ever before to experience a fresh realization of God's power and God's glory and God's holiness. Isaiah went to the temple, perhaps thinking it would be church as usual. And the scripture says he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. I'm reminded of a New Testament encounter. In the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Sister talked about the 16th chapter. The 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus is with his disciples. And the scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 17, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter piped up and answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. This is great. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, God, the Father, spoke out of heaven. And behold, in a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. What happened to them? What did they do? What happened to them? They fell on their faces. And the fear of God came on them. That's not church as usual, folks. I think sometimes, you know, we come in and we've all got our ways, and thank God for our ways. You know, some of us are more reserved than others. I'm pretty reserved. There's some more reserved than I. But I'll tell you, when we have a vision of God, when the glory comes down, when the presence of the Lord is so strong and so real. I had one fellow in my church. He'd feel the glory of God, Brother Steve. He'd come down the center aisle, and he'd lay on the floor, face down. You remember that, babe? Oh, Stan. He'd just lay out before. I'm talking about while I'm preaching. I let him lay there and kept on preaching. It's okay. It's okay. I'll tell you what, it's okay. It says there's still some life in me. We can still feel the touch of God. When God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit, there's something going to happen inside of you, guy. You're liable to shake a little bit. Shake, rattle, and roll for the glory of God. Come on. I learned something this week as I prepared for this word that God revealed to me, and then some more this morning. When Isaiah had this vision, he was seeing the day of Christ's coming. It's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 41. Jesus talks about Isaiah, and he talks about the fact, and John writes, "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him." He was speaking about Jesus. I've been studying this book for a long time, and I never realized that. I thought he was talking about the Father. Now, the Trinity is there. The Trinity is there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But John the Beloved said he saw Jesus 740 years before this time. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was seated on a throne, and his glory filled the place. We got to see it. He said, "I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And with Jesus came an entourage of heaven's host." He saw angels. He saw seraphs. He saw the glory of God and the power of God and the manifestation of heaven's heavenly beings. These seraphims were like burning embers, shining fiery creatures. Steve, I tell you what, Pastor, I don't know what would happen to us in the church these days if we had that kind of a visitation of God. I don't know. The disciples fell on their face when Jesus began. The glory of Christ shone forth, and his garments became white as raiment. And God spoke out of the glory cloud. And he heard the voice. He saw, he heard, he saw, and he heard. He had an encounter. An encounter with God. I long for that. I long for it. And immediately his response was, he saw, you know, folks, when we see God, we see our need. There was in the midst of this temple that day not only the throne of God and the glory of God, but he saw an altar. You see, the throne is for the Lord. The altar is for you and me. Our altar is the cross of Christ. It's where we bend our knee and bow ourselves before him. And Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me! I'm undone." Might have said, "I'm a mess." We don't see our need until we see it in the light of God's glory. We can come in here in our Sunday best and, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. But I'll tell you what, when the glory of God comes, he penetrates our outer garments and he sees our hearts. Isaiah, the prophet of God, realized that anybody in that culture in that time who ever saw the Lord would die. He thought he was done. He thought it was over. And he cried out, "Woe is me." God is not finished with us yet. And as long as we're in this life, there's more that God wants to do. Isaiah said, "I'm not done. I'm not, it's not complete. I sense my unworthiness. I sense my guilt. I sense my sin. I'm a man of unclean lips." The Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell what's inside of a person if you listen to them for a while. They'll tell you about themselves. Isn't it true? They'll tell you about themselves. If you listen, you're going to hear something. It wasn't that he had a problem with, I don't know, I don't think he had a problem with profanity. But he saw himself and he saw his need in the light of God's glory. And he saw the need of the people around him in the light of God's glory. And he cried out, "God, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me. I'm undone." And then seraphims that were standing around the throne of God crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." One of them, though they had six wings and two were covering their face, it's interesting, two were covering their feet. This is an act of humility. This is the entourage of God, who even themselves around the throne of the Lord are broken and humble. But one of them flew, taking a coal off the altar and purging it on the lips of, this is not the town drunk, this is the prophet. And purged him. And declared to him, with that live hot coal from the altar, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Your sin is atoned for. God provided in that divine encounter a mediator who came in the form of that seraphim, that angel of God, and purged with a hot coal the lips of the prophet. I am so thankful today that you and I have a mediator between the Father and us. And it's the mediator, the man, the God-man, the man, Christ Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross for the purging and the atoning of our sin. Isaiah saw the altar. Isaiah felt the touch. Isaiah experienced the cleansing. His life was changed. His life was transformed. The scripture says in Acts, the fourth chapter, and the 12th verse, that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's that 1 Timothy 2:5 and the mediator between God and man. It's in that encounter, folks. Every individual needs to have a personal encounter with the Lord, where Christ is received, where forgiveness is given, where the Lord. All we need to do, the Bible says, whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord. The beauty of it all. The Revelator tells us a picture of Jesus, and I love this picture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, then I'll come in to him. I'll come in to him. You and I need to open the door. We need to have this kind of excitement, this kind of anticipation. We need to have the recognition of our need. We need to realize that Jesus is the answer to our need, and not only ours, but that of the whole world. For the scripture says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. We've all come short of the glory of God. He revealed his glory. Oh, Brownstone, we want the glory of God. We want the presence of God in our midst. Can I tell you where the Lord shows up? The Lord shows up where people worship him. Well, we don't just sing the songs, but somehow our heart comes out and lifts itself toward the glory of God, and we present ourselves before the Lord, and in that glory and in that presence, we recognize our need, the throne of God, the throne is for God, the cross, the altar is for us. He saw the Lord and he heard his voice. And here's what it said. The Lord spoke. And he said, verse 8 of our text, God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I want you to see the plural there. Who will go for us? Our Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Holy Spirit, all in their position, making up the triune God. There's the call that comes to those who have experienced the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. There's the call that says, who will go? Whom shall we send? And who will go for us? That's that commission. That's that call to serve. That's that call to go out from God's presence with a mandate, with an awareness, with a calling, that there's a responsibility upon my life and on your life because we've met with the Lord. And the biggest thing on God's agenda is that none perish. Not willing, really, that any should perish. God is wanting us to be those embers. God is wanting us to be those lives that will shine forth something and reflect something. Reflect something! Reflect something of His glory. I heard the story recently. I read the story again recently of Chuck Colson. You know, most of you know the story about Chuck Colson working under President Richard Nixon, the hatchet man, they called him. As all this was coming down, one day he went to the house of a friend of his. A fellow by the name of Tom Phillips. And Chuck noticed something different about Tom Phillips. He said, "Tom, you're different. What happened to you since I seen you last?" Tom said very boldly and frankly, "Chuck, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." I like that. I like that. I mean, that's kind of telling it pretty plain, isn't it? And he began to share with Chuck a little bit about how God had changed his life and what the Lord had done. And the Holy Spirit took it from there because Chuck left his house and got in his car and began to drive down out of the driveway and down the street as tears began to flow from his eyes. And Chuck realized that he had a pride issue. He'd been wrong. He didn't know whether he believed in God or not. Tom wrote, encouraged him to read the book written by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. He wept. He had to pull over to the side of the road. This is his testimony. I just listened to it again freshly yesterday. Wept. He felt conviction. Folks, when we come to the house of God and we enter God's presence, we're going to feel things. God's going to speak to us. When we enter His presence, He's going to deal with our hearts. Conviction's a wonderful thing because God is saying, "This is bad in your life. You need to deal with it." Chuck was feeling conviction. After reading that book, he said he got his legal pad out and he made two columns. One for believing in Christ and the other for atheism, non-believing. And he was overwhelmed with the fact that Jesus was real and the scriptures were true. And he received Christ. And you know the rest of the story. He went to prison. God changed his vocation. Started what we call prison fellowship. Still in existence today, though Chuck has entered his eternal reward. God dealt with his heart and he felt an affinity for those prisoners. Changed the course of his life. Thousands of people and their families were changed because one man was bold with his testimony and another humbly received Jesus Christ as his Lord. Oh, folks, when we come to church, may we see God in his power and in his glory. He has not lost one bit of his glory, not one bit of his power, not one bit of his holiness. He's the same today as he's always been. May we see God. May we hear his voice. May we see our need. May we receive his forgiveness and his provision. And God help us to commit to his service. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Isaiah said in the 31st chapter, he said, "You'll hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" We can hear God's voice. But can I tell you the best way to hear it is just get in the Gospels and hear and see what Jesus is saying. The revelation is that Isaiah saw your and my Savior on that side of the cross. He saw our Savior. He saw him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He saw him where his glory filled the house. Oh, the glory. Will you bow with me this morning? Father God, thank you for this scripture. I thank you for this revelation. I thank you, Lord, that you're the same today and you're still revealing yourself to people. I thank you, Lord, that when we come together and we begin to sing your praises and focus on you, God, help us not to miss the main event. God, help us not to miss the main event. Thank God. We thank you, Lord, for the song. We thank you, Lord, for the word. But we want to meet you today. We don't want to leave this house, but what we meet you today. With every head bowed this morning, please, and no one looking around. I wonder if there's someone in this house today who would say, "Pastor, I've never had an encounter with God. I've never met Jesus as my personal Savior. Oh, I've heard about him. I've listened to a lot of preaching about him, but I've not met him. And I want to meet him today." Would you acknowledge that need? Just slip up a hand in this house today. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to help you in prayer. Anyone like that? Anyone who would say, "I'm not sure where I stand with God, but I want an encounter with God this morning." Just lift it up right now, right now. Father, I thank you this morning that every one of us here today, in the light of your glory and in the light of your presence, would say, "Lord, I'm undone. You've not accomplished everything yet that you want to do with me. But I'm ready today, Lord. I need a fresh touch. I'll take a coal. I need you, Mediator Jesus. I need your mediation in my life. I need your intervention. I need your divine help. And I cry out to you." May we be readied, oh God, this week for the commission. May we say, "Here am I. Send me." In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Steve.